Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Welcome back to another episode of the Go Get That podcast, episode 74. I am back after hiatus. Everyone, welcome back to me.
I know welcome back, missed, Bob.
Welcome everyone back, missed Bob. Me so dearly. just kidding. Our viewer numbers shot up last week. So let it be known. But it's Arnold Palmer Invitational Week. I myself am running on 4 hours of sleep in my last 35 hours or so, yeah. And that 4 hours just came before, I just woke up 20 minutes ago, so I'm feeling good. I feel like this is a sign for the week ahead that all good things will end well. I feel like that's sort of my moral of the week that I'm kind of getting the vibe from right now, but I'll let you guys I haven't looked at any of the models or anything, so I'm gonna go do that right now.
Yeah, this is one of the better weeks on tour, right? Obviously, it's an elevated event. Arnie's. Well, okay. Before we get into it, what's the difference between designated and elevated?
It's the same thing.
That's what is. I don't know. I think there is a difference. Like, is Arnie's event, because the ones that are elevated,
it's elevated.
Are those the four?
No, if you have a $20 million purse and you're a non-major and you're not the players, you're elevated, okay. Which is this week.
So are there designated events then?
No, not that I do not think
I there think is. They're all the same thing.
Yeah, okay. I agree. Yeah.
All right. That's okay. Now that we've cleared that up, one of the elevated events. I don't know why I had that in my head, but I mean, this is everybody's been talking about the weather so far, and I'm sure Weatherman Dan will provide some more insight into that in a second. But man, this course plays to 7,500 yards, par 72. Like, this is a tough golf course, regardless of wind. And obviously, last time we. Jordan was here, it was in 2021, had that T4, but they've changed a little bit about the course. Some of the runoffs that were mown down are now just thick rough. So it's a little bit more traditional US Open-y in that sense. If that's how you'd like to think about it, obviously the rough won't be that thick this week just due to some of the wind and firmness that they are expecting. But Just another small difference to a course that will play big, and with all the best players in the world here, it has the makings for a big boy showdown on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I'd agree. We talk about these 2 week stretches that are fun, and you got a great one coming up here. You got API this week. The winning score is not going to get the double digits with the wind. I don't see that happening.
I would agree with that.
So that's awesome. And then you got the players next week. Could play tough there. That course can play tough if there's any wind with all the water.
I mean, that's the golden standard of golf.
Yeah, I mean, it's
on the PGA Tour. It's the one they want the premier.
Exactly.
Yes, correct.
But first, we're back at API. An event Jordan should have played last year. He did not. Big mistake on his part, but this year, since it's elevated, he kind of has to be here. It's one of four opportunities coming up to, get the engine moving a little bit ahead of the Masters. Yeah. So you might as well, take advantage of this first event, and hopefully he will play well.
Well, I'm looking at the models here, and I'm seeing a lot of things that Jordan talked about this earlier in the week. Some would say Mr. Spieth checks all the boxes at this golf course. The three best comp courses are TPC Scottsdale, Augusta, and Harbortown. Obviously has won at two of those and shot 61 at the other. And the number one stat, this is actually pretty interesting, but the number one stat this week is shots gained around the green. That's been a little bit interesting recently for Mr. Spieth. We'll see if he gets back to the Spieth of old around the greens, but if he does, should be in for a pretty good week. He's coming off I believe it was a T9, T8 here for his first time he played.
T4?
Was that?
Yeah.
He was right there. He had a chance to win.
Oh, I remember sure. He was right there. He didn't make a putt on Sunday, but
no. No, he didn't. Really,
I didn't think he finished that high, but that's good. So he's got good course history here. He was also playing some of the best golf of his career then, but then again, I like the way he looks on paper.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see, because the game he plays now is a very different game than he has in recent years. I mean, obviously, short game is not what it used to be. Putting's not what it used to be. So we'll see where. I think if he ends up playing poor this week, it will be because of his around the green performance.
Whoa. See, that's a take right there. But yeah, I said coming in before the podcast that this is a course on paper that fits Jordan. I mean, you heard the comp courses from Bob. Let's be very clear. There's no course that fits the guy that misses putts inside of 5 feet at the rate he does. But, you know, any course that, you know, you got to be good around the green and scramble a lot, that's a course that's going to play into Jordan's favor. I know Bob was just talking about the short game being a little up and down, but he's coming off of two straight events where he's, you know, gained some strokes around the greens. It looked really good in, you know, Phoenix. I thought that helped, you know, get him to that T6 finish. And then we only saw two rounds at, you know, Riviera. So not a ton to go off of there, but yeah, I think if Jordan can just, you know, make the easy putts like you're supposed to, I think the floor is relatively decent this week. Hi.
Yeah, you guys have summed it up pretty well there. On paper, it's a good fit, but I think this is one of those weeks where the paper fits won't play that big of a role, right? I mean, we've talked, you know, it's just the variability of this. There's a lot of water, right? So that's just kind of one element of the Florida golf. So there's double bogeys out there. They're lurking.
Oh, yeah.
Tough golf course. There are certain holes that you can get. Number 16, par 5 on the back nine is basically a must birdie, depending on the wind direction, I suppose. But it's 5-11.
Yeah, it's a must birdie. You just got to avoid the cross bunker.
Yeah, and typically it plays somewhat downwind. But we shall see this week. Speaking of wind, it's going to be blowing this week.
We're going to...
Thursday is not bad. Thursday morning will be calm, the calmest it'll be all week. Thursday afternoon will be about 12 to 15. And then Friday morning, 15 to 20, and then pretty quickly up into the 25, 30 mile an hour range with gusts around 40, particularly more sustained wind in the afternoon on Friday, which is not ideal for the people playing early late. But it certainly won't be all that easy in the morning either. With, you know, gusts pretty high and sustained winds a little bit lower. Warm, sunny Saturday morning. I think this was one of the things that I noticed about the weather report is that once you get to Saturday, I think we'll see the top of the leaderboard kind of separate themselves from the bottom because it's supposed to be blowing in the morning and not as much in the afternoon. So when the leaders go off, it'll be calmer. They'll have a full round to post 2, 3, 4 under and kind of separate themselves from the players who have been struggling to make the cut and then face some tougher conditions on that Saturday. So I'd expect a little bit of a leaderboard sort of detachment. I'd expect a lot of weird like pods on the leaderboard come Sunday, thanks to the weather. But certainly not what we were hoping for, right? With the early late tee time for Mr. Spieth this week.
Yeah, I liked what you mentioned with the pods. I feel like this could definitely be more of a Hatton type winning score at like 4, 5, 6 under than it will be like Scottie Scheffler and Bryson, which is like 10, 11, 12, 13. Again, these are the events that I love to watch. It makes them more fun when the wind's blowing. It makes it so bogeys are just as crucial, but birdies are even more crucial. If you think about it, was not meant to be played with tournaments with winners shooting 20 under par. So this is as good as it gets. This is one of the best events on the PGA Tour. And when it's blowing, we didn't really get that last week. Usually we get some really, really tough conditions with the Honda. We didn't really get that. I mean, Chris Kirk went at what, 15, 13?
Yeah,
15. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think we're going to get, I think the golf gods are going to toss us one this week. A really nice, hopefully a fun final round.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think at most, and this is, I think, you know, I think the lowest the winning score will be is about 10 under this week.
Yeah.
Scotty won at 5 last year. It was kind of, I mean, there were some, it wasn't like a runaway 5. So there were some guys close by. It was a pretty, you know, jam packed leaderboard. So you never know. Maybe someone gets hot. They win by 3 this year instead of him beating what, 3 guys by 1 last year. But regarding Mr. Spieth, Thursday morning is pretty much going to, you know, tell us how the week's going to go. There's going to be like no wind on Thursday morning. And then, you know, Thursday afternoon through Sunday, it's going to be windy. He is going to have a chance to go shoot, you know, 4 or 5, maybe even a 6 unders out there Thursday morning, just because there's not going to be much wind. The golf course won't be that firm yet.
Yeah.
So he either can do that or he can struggle and, you know, play in 35, 40 mile per hour gust come Friday afternoon and, you know, get the RV going down to, you know, Ponte Vedra, because he's going to need to play well Thursday morning if he's going to want to have a good week. Because the scoring Friday afternoon, I mean, one over, two over, I think on Friday afternoon with the forecasted winds wouldn't be the end of the world, but you really got to, you know, score on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I think anything inside of 73 on Friday, even just like the whole day, like you're not killing yourself too much. Like it could, depending on how they trick it up, set it up or whatever, they could, 70, 75 could be just below average. Like you could see it play 4 over par on Friday. So it is crucial to get off to that. Like, as you said, Thursday morning is going to be the time to get your birdies going a little bit, get the momentum rolling, because you're about to get hit hard on Friday.
Even could be a top 20 score this week.
I could see that for sure.
You can't really force the issue here. You just kind of keep plucking away. So it'll be interesting to see how he approaches that. He hasn't really played an event like that on the schedule yet this year. So we'll see. I'm excited. I'm happy to be out of the West Coast swing because the putter was just so abysmal, but maybe the putts will drop in Florida.
Yeah. Well, they're going to need to, right? I mean, we talked about, I know it's so obvious, but like for this course specifically, short game is the number one thing in Mr. Models. And make part of short game as a whole, not necessarily in terms of strokes gained, but is you got to finish, you know, you got to make the down part of the up. The up doesn't matter if it takes 2 times to get it down. So
true.
I think guys who make a lot of putts, you know, with inside of 8 feet, especially on Friday when the wind is probably going to be moving the ball on the putting green, not like oscillating it, but like when you hit it, it's going to have some impact on where it ends up. So guys who make 8 footers are going to be able to kind of hang around. And obviously that hasn't really been Spieth's game. But you never know. I mean, do you guys like, what kind of expectations do you have for the putter this week? I kind of feel like it's hard to set like a strokes gain target or a ball of any sort.
I don't have any. I'm just going in there. I just kind of want to see what happens. You know, it's tough, man, because like where would you even start?
I don't know, just like positive for the week or something like that.
I mean, that'd be nice.
But would that be too big of a jump, you know? Like
He doesn't need to make, you know, I think a ton of putts. He's just got the way his iron play has been, center of the green, 2 putts on most holes is going to do it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's plodding around the golf course type of golf. It's not driving range, you know, wedge here, iron here. And as Bob kind of alluded to, and it's kind of sad, this is the first event he's playing this year. There's not many events like this. Granted, the wind's going to play a factor, but Bay Hill's tough as it is. Even without the wind, this place is tricky. Yeah. He doesn't just center the green on most holes is going to be fine. And maybe, just maybe, he'll make a 20, 25 footer here or there. Well, and that's how you shoot a good score around here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We have to hope that the 25 footers start to fall a little bit more. Obviously, if you look at his numbers, like I talked about this last week on the Honda preview Genesis recap, is like he's a bad putter from everything outside of like 7 to 10 feet. And it's like it just doesn't make sense, you know. The numbers are so bad because he misses short putts, but he can't like buffer them because he makes pretty much zero 15 to 25 footers. So hopefully that changes. Hopefully the putter gets rolling early on Thursday morning. I actually just kind of been thinking about it, because obviously the consensus is like late, early is the window to have. And I think I, you know, kind of have to agree with that just based on what we see. But I think you could make the case that going out on Thursday morning with pretty much no wind, minimal wind, course as pure as it's going to get, the softest it's going to be all week, and being able to go shoot 4 or 5 under and then coming out in consistent winds, even though they're going to be really heavy on Friday afternoon. My guess is early late is still the harder draw, but I may only be by half a shot.
Yeah.
It could be a lot worse, but my expectation is that it might be a little bit closer than originally expected.
I'd agree. It's not like the guys that are, you know, late early, they're going to come out Friday and not face wind. I mean, it's still going to be like 18, 24, 25 miles per hour blowing in the morning.
And the gusts will be like equally as high. And I think sometimes guys talk about like it's easier to play a little bit in higher winds if it's more consistent. But when you get gusts, that's when you get the big numbers, especially with the place that has as much water as it does. Like you catch one gust on a wedge shot on like number 13 or whatever, and you're just in the drink. And that's just kind of a bad break. But if it's more consistent, you can account for that and things like that. But we'll see. I think early late is the one you want to have.
It's one of my favorite words, and I use it all the time with, you know, Jordan. It's an opportunity Thursday morning that guaranteed. I mean, there's some big names going out Thursday morning. Isn't Scottie Scheffler playing in the morning? JT's playing. One of those guys is going to go shoot 5 under, and as long as you just hover around even par on Friday afternoon, you're going to be sitting pretty. So it's an opportunity that, you know, hopefully he will take advantage of in, you know, the calmest conditions that everyone will see this week.
Agreed. Couldn't say it better. And coming off a miscut too with the week off, the Honda as well. I'd imagine at this point in the season, he's been working on the game, right? This isn't a vacation point, especially considering I mean, you can see if you're watching on YouTube, you can see my name is results now. but as we stand, like he's 95th-ish in the FedEx Cup. He's not a lock per se for the Ryder Cup team based on how he's playing. He's given no indication that he will be able to contend because of a lack of putts at any of the majors, and they're all coming up soon. So this is like, it's go time now. It's like put up, or this is going to be another mess season where you win one time as great as a win at Craig Ranch would be, and I'm sure it'd be one of the greatest of his career, like you kind of want more than that, right? In one of these years. So it needs to get going this week, and it starts on Thursday with something in the 60s, I think.
Yeah. We beat this drum every week. You know, you got to get off to a good start on the PGA Tour. Playing from behind against this amount of talent is a ridiculous thing to ask unless you're John Rahm. Especially when you have people like John Rahm who can shoot one over on the first day and not be out of the tournament. Like, you can't also shoot one over, have to build up that ground, and still have to beat Rahm throughout the week. Like, it's just, it puts, it's too many things it puts you behind the eight ball so much that it just gives you such a disadvantage. The par is 72. I'd like to see something in the 60s. Round one. I'd love a 69, maybe 68, but that's a tough task, but that's what I'm asking for.
It's a fair ask. Results now, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. I'm looking at my, you know, PGA Tour app. I got all the big names in golf, you know, favored. I'm looking at the FedEx Cup standings, and the only two big names in golf right now that have less points are Webb Simpson, if he's even a big name to you anymore, and Tiger Woods. So that just about tells you that results are needed. I look at it from my perspective, not because I need FedEx Cup points. I look at it because I want him to win his second green jacket in about 6 weeks. And if that's going to happen, he's going to need to start, you know, performing a little bit better.
Right. Yeah, there needs to be more. I think the goal for this week has to be like leaving with momentum, right? Yeah. It feels like Genesis, Phoenix momentum, even though Sunday wasn't all that pretty. But Genesis, you just leave feeling like defeated a little bit. Just like, all right, we're at the same point we were at after Sony. And so we'll have to see where it goes this week. But, and you know, we keep saying it, Thursday is quite the opportunity to get it started. So in that sense, I'm somewhat glad I'm almost like a little glad he's playing Thursday morning, because it's like, we'll know by Thursday at 1 o'clock, we'll know how this week is gonna go, right?
Or very
we'll
true
know, we'll know oh, like yeah. what kind of headlines, you know, we'll be talking about next week. So anything else on API?
I think I'm good. I have a lot of things I want to talk about like some other players as well. Once you get into like the betting stuff, but
Do you want to kick off the betting now, or?
Well, I could give my outright
real quick. Do we want to go over Honda? We actually had a pretty good week as a pod for the first time.
Shout out to us. Shout out to me for the only losing week.
Yeah, but you only lost $2.5.
You basically broke.
And I broke even with a Danny Willett top 40, which at the time was quite close. Then
I forgot that like he finished like T29.
Yeah, he finished like T29. Even though
you were like, thought that it was a massive sack.
I thought he choked it, but I needed that. So I broke even, and then Jordan, the big winner. Obviously, Chris Kirk dusted Aaron Wise last week. It's too bad you didn't put points on the Kirk outright, but
Chris Kirk is an alpha.
Good for him.
He was awesome last week. The only obviously the fairway wood on 18, the line is ballsy to say the least, but it's like, come on, Chris, you got to pick a better.
It was a good shot though. Like that's the whole thing.
You can't start it right of the green.
I didn't watch anything. I didn't watch the Honda.
You missed a good finish.
You missed a good finish. Shout out to Eric Cole too. I mean, and another thing that maybe my big takeaway from the Honda was the elevated events, which have been pretty good. And the non-elevated, like they can coexist really well because you get and it's probably not going to happen every week where there's an Eric Cole in contention at the Honda, but
it's a good story.
It's a good win for somebody on tour that bumps them into these elevated events. Even the elevated events offer the opportunity not only for the top tier guys to like establish themselves as all-time greats,
absolutely,
but also other guys who get in there to make a lot of money and change their career and their trajectory and things like that. So far, like the PGA Tour, the new kind of setup of some of these things has worked out really, really well.
Well, we haven't really seen what a really good non-elevated event is going to be. I think next year will be really interesting with Phoenix. Kind of shocked me. But I still think plenty of names will go. But I feel like Phoenix was so good this year that they kind of
– Yeah, everybody should be back there. Unless Pebble – I mean – reports are that Pebble is going to be elevated, right? So maybe guys don't want to play too many in a row.
I'm sure people will skip Pebble.
But I mean, to be fair, like the Amex wasn't even that bad. There are a lot of guys at the Amex this year.
It's true.
So, yeah. But it's been a good start for the, I guess the Sony maybe has been of the new year. It's been probably the least interesting maybe.
Well, although it didn't help that, you know, we did at the Sony.
Yeah. I mean, Siwoo put on a show on Sunday, but it's a little different when Chris Kirk wins compared to Siwoo Kim. So
yeah. Just another thing on Eric Cole is in the field this week at the API, which is also cool. He's on a sponsor's exemption.
Yes.
You know, I assume I know all of us, and I assume some of our viewers follow Monday Q on Twitter. Life-changing week for Eric Cole last week. He made, what, 900 grand?
Yep.
I mean,
yeah. Triple is all time.
Let's be very clear. Jordan Spieth doesn't play for money, but there's a lot of guys out there on a weekly basis.
It's
playing for their family, and you know,
people tend to lose sight in how hard of a living being a mid-major PGA Tour professional is. Like, if you're kind of grinding in those lower events and those Korn Ferry Tour events, that's not good money at all.
No,
not everyone on tour lives the life of Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler. Like, there are a lot of people that are just scraping by, and it's really hard on the family. So to see those weeks, I mean, I saw somewhere he made like 400,000 his like entire career or something like that. Like, that's
Well, even a guy like Ryan Gerard, who finished solo fourth, he Monday qualified for the event, right? And that's a big deal, because you go into the week, you can make $0 because you shoot 66 on a Monday Q and you don't even qualify. I mean, I don't know what the scores were, but obviously you have to shoot really low to qualify for PGA Tour events, and to come out with a solo four and go play in Puerto Rico this week, right? So gets another PGA Tour start. There was somebody, I think Trace Crow, I think, chipped in on 18 on Friday to make his first cut ever on the PGA Tour. I think he finished like T72, but for guys that do that, it's a great experience, and it's you a lot more money than you would make elsewhere for finishing T72. That's for sure.
Well, I think I hate to be the spoiler, but I know I don't have my plays yet, but Eric Cole plus money to miss the cut is looking quite interesting next week.
He's plus money.
Plus money to miss the cut.
What is it? Like
plus 110.
Okay. Man, because he putted really well. Like, I would fade Eric Cole too. That's a good play if that's where you're going to go.
We'll be seeing. I'm looking at a lot of missed cuts, Molinari, English, but if we want to
Morikawa.
If we just want to dive,
I have a missed cut bet on my card this week. So
I will have multiple missed bets on my card if Dan is Morikawa to miss the cut, I think I'm going to lay off. But if he doesn't,
there's some value on some of these.
Plus 400.
Yeah, Morikawa to miss the cut at plus 400 is not on my card, but I love that play. Right, like, he cannot play in the wind. Granted, he got the good draw, but that means he's playing in the wind for all 36 of his holes. So that a lot of people like him this week. And I think he's got some pretty good course history here as well. But
yeah,
I'm telling you, man, Morikawa miscut, I think is something that I would seriously consider if I didn't have other
things. So I'm gonna look here at might as well just get my outright out of the way. I don't know how much I'm putting on it yet. It's tough, man. I'm between Bradley and Hovland, but I'm probably going to go with Bradley just as a value play. Mm-hmm. I don't really like anyone on this board this week.
Yeah.
If anything, I would have gone with Rom, really. but
there's a speaking of value there. It's like,
but
no value on Rom at all.
Yeah, I just it's gonna have to be Bradley for me this week. Probably not very much.
What's he at?
75-1.
Okay.
I definitely thought about Mr. Spieth because I mean,
he's got a good number this
week. If Elise is willing to take Mr. Spieth, which never happens, then there has to be some good reasoning behind that. But I'm not going to. I'm gonna take Keegan Bradley this week to win 75-1. I'll let you know how much I put on that, probably 5 or 10.
Okay.
That's your man right there.
I might. There's a very good chance I go back to Mr. Roy, first round leader.
Mm.
Which last year, I don't know if you remember, but he was 10-1 to win.
Yeah.
30-1 to first round lead. And same that thing this year? No, he's like 20-1 this year, but still.
First round leader. I don't know. He's in the afternoon wave. So that will be the harder. But you could play it if you want. I shouldn't have told you.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm sure you would have figured it out at some point. But I have two outright, so I'll let the leader Jordan go after me. Go, you know, lead from the top. But
so I'm going first or
I don't know. Either way.
You were going, so go ahead.
Okay.
Go
ahead. So I have two outrights this week. One I'm putting 5 on. It's Hideki. I saw him. I'll have to find it again. 70-1.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Matsuyama. I know he hasn't been playing amazing, and this maybe isn't like the greatest spot for him, but you talked about the comp courses, one of them being Augusta. Phoenix is another one. Those are like Hideki courses right there. And why not Hideki Matsuyama at 71? I'll probably just put 5 on that. And then I've been on this guy since the Honda started, plays got in. I started doing a little API research. This is my guy this week. I'm going Jason Day, 33-1. I'm putting 10 on that. I think he's like top 5 in strokes gained per round since January 1st. And he doesn't have a win. He's played obviously really well. He's got great course history here. And the only thing, I have him later in my card and I'll get to that as well, but he is in the early late window, which makes me a wee bit nervous, but I'm kind of talked myself into the fact that it won't be that different. So well I'm gonna cross my fingers and hope that that's the case.
It's my turn. I have 3 outrights this week.
Ooh.
Tough week because there's a lot of good candidates. I feel
there is.
It was kind of tough to narrow down like who I wanted to go with. But so I went with one of the big boys in Scottie Scheffler this week as one of my outrights.
What's his number?
He's plus 950. So
that's awful for Rom. Rom's
plus 700.
That's a scam from the books, in my opinion. He should be quad digits at least. If you're gonna put someone at 700, you have to make the next best.
Well, where's Rory?
Plus 950 as well.
Oh my god,
that's he's plus 850 now, so a little bit.
Wow.
But
no thanks from the
blue. We can say you can hate the value.
Yeah,
Rom's won two, three times. So
the only thing is, I feel like I don't feel like with the Rom bets recently, the value has been wrong. I just feel like the Scotty value is completely wrong.
I mean, I think you have clear in a way the 3 best golfers and
I mean, it's definitely a pick that could win, and it's definitely a good strategy. I'm just saying. I think that the book is scamming you out of much more money.
it's fine. But then again, we have 100 to play with, and I kind of just got to go with who I think is really good. And Scottie Scheffler is insane at golf right now.
He is very good.
Well, someone's here last year, and some are saying, like, how is he going to go back to back? He went back to back at Phoenix, so he covered that. And the floor with Scheffler, I feel, is like extremely high.
That's true.
Like, it would be fun to at least have a sweat on Sunday, and there's a pretty damn good chance he'll be in the picture. So that's one of my outrights, even though Bob doesn't like the value. I don't love the value either.
No.
But he is better than the guys that are below him.
Yeah. No, I don't it's one thing to like I like the pick despite the fact that it's crazy to me that the books have 3 dudes under 10-1.
Yeah. I went with it just because I'm tired of seeing Rom win.
Yeah.
Rory's obviously going to win at some point. So maybe I'll be on
this.
It
this could
point.
Be a, this, this really this could be a Rory week.
Exactly. I was going between him and Rory, but I went with Scotty. And then my other two outrights, one is Max Homa. I'm going back to Homa after he failed me in Phoenix.
Jordan has wagons, to say the least. He's just going right to the wagons. I respect it. respect it, because if he gets one of these wagons, all of a sudden he's opened up a massive lead.
Home, yeah, I mean, Home was 20. He actually, when I put him in, he was 20-1. He's now 21-1.
So we'll give you the 21.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'll gladly take the 21. Mr. Plus money on Eric Cole to miss the cut. But besides that, Homa is a wagon, as you said. Great short game. Irons are great. And then my big, I think you guys probably already know who I'm going with here. I got the number last night on FanDuel. He went way down because I assume people are betting him. Ricky Fowler. Ricky is... I got him at 75-1 last night on FanDuel. He's down to 55 because people love Ricky. Ricky's ball striking stats are insane since January 1st. Let's be very clear here. I know we have Ricky fans of the podcast. Ricky does not win a lot, which was kind of tough. But it's 75-1 with how he's hitting it. You know, good short game. He's been pretty accurate off the tee here too, which I was kind of looking at for API. You got to hit the fairways at least above average clip. He's doing that. 75-1, I figured I would, you know, buy in. So I put 10 on Ricky.
I don't hate that pick. You know, I feel like Ricky's got a win coming around the corner. Possibly for Spieth.
Yeah, I agree. But so I got 10 on Ricky, 15 on Homa, and then 20 on Scheffler.
Let it be known that Karp does believe that Ricky Fowler is a better golfer than George Spieth right now, which I don't hate the take.
I don't know if I believe that. But I think it's pretty damn close at the bare minimum.
He is.
I think that the numbers say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he is.
It's getting close.
By SG numbers, he is. Where does I wonder? I'll look it up while you drop some of your other
data
plays,
golf number. Has Spieth at 32 and Ricky's at 45. So I think they want to see a little bit more from Ricky first. But
all right. Well, it's close. I'll give the viewers this out of my, and these plays are not official, but this is the direction I think I'm going to go with this. I'll just run through them. I think I'm going to go with a large stack on Eric Cole to miss the cut at +110. I think I'm going to take,
I mean, dude, Eric Cole has almost no shot to make the cut this week.
Yeah.
Like that's a lock.
Yeah. I'm going to go with probably 5 on Bradley. Let's see if there's a first round leader I like. Is honestly, I'm going to go 10 on Rom first round leader.
What's he at there?
16.
Okay. He is in the.
I don't hate that at all. I'm probably gonna go 20 on Morikawa and then the rest on Cole.
Morikawa miscut.
Yes.
Do you have a placement bet?
Oh, I do not. I might just do 15 on Morikawa and then 5 on like a long shot top 5. But
okay, that's what I've been doing a little bit.
Yeah,
the placements. Like, that's sort of a way to get away. The placements have not been working recently.
They have not. They're tough to.
But we will obey the rules. You know, I feel like the rules were built to. They were built against me. You know, the first day it said that I was not allowed to win in the rules.
Thankfully,
we got it amended, in the Constitution.
Yeah.
That's debatable. Ash, it's very debatable.
I don't know. I think you just deleted it. Anyway, I'll just go with my. I only have 2 plays left, so I'll just go through those really quickly. I mentioned I have 1 more Jason Day play. I'll get to that in a second. I've FanDuel +190. I saw it yesterday. Christian Bezuidenhout, the top 40. And I know Wolverine Corner. I don't know if he listens, but he's a big Christian Bezuidenhout fan. Bezuidenhout has played here 3 times and has 3 top 20s. So given the fact that the field is strengthened quite a bit this year, granted, it's always a pretty good field, but actually, I've got his data golf pulled up right in front of me right now. But Bezuidenhout's like diamond or pentagon on data golf, it's very strong in the around the green and the putting. And this week, just given the wind and the emphasis on the around the green, it makes sense why he plays well here. So +190 for top 40. I think I've got So I've got whatever it is to get just above 100 on that. So that's my break-even play of the week. And then this one is tough because I'm going back to Jason Day. I think he's going to play really well this week, but I can't lie and say that the weather didn't have an impact on my thinking about this. So it didn't change anything in the end, but I'm a little bit more concerned about it. I have in a three ball, I have Jason Day to beat Colin Morikawa and Tyrrell Hatton at +175. I love the Jason Day over Colin Morikawa, but I couldn't find that anywhere. So throw in Tyrrell Hatton, which is risky because Hatton's obviously got great course history here. He's playing pretty well. And he's got the supposed better wave than Jason Day. So we'll see. But I just think, I don't know. It seemed like Chris Kirk won for the first time in a long time last week. Kind of seems like those things kind of happen. You know, Jason Day hasn't won in a long time. Seems like it could be his week this week. So I'm going at him on the outright and in a matchup, mostly fading. I like Day a lot, and I'm also fading Morikawa and getting some value. So I'm expecting it to be a Day Hatton off, but I mean, hey, if Hatton wants the weekend off, Morikawa can join him and Day's still playing. I will take that all day.
That's kind of you.
Yeah.
I respect it. I have two more plays. I have my placement. I'm kind of doing what you're doing. I'm going hard on Ricky. At the top 10 at +600. I have two break-even plays. That's one of them. So Ricky to top 10. I'd kind of be shocked if Ricky doesn't play well. I guess maybe he can get gusted with the wind. It's actually funny. I was doing a lot of my research, and Ricky's been driving the ball great, but when he misses, it's like always on a hole where it goes OB or there's water. So like he's kind of like
so Spieth.
Exactly. He's kind of old Spieth right now. Like he'll just find the worst hole to hit a bad drive. And so there's a lot of holes like that this week, but hopefully he doesn't find one of those. And then my other play is Taylor Montgomery, a big fan. I know Bob loves this guy to miss.
Well, his wheels have fallen off. So yeah. I'm not a big fan anymore.
I think they're going to continue to fall off. He's been really bad from 150 to 200 yards. And most golf courses are that. Bay Hill's no different. He's been awful, like awful, awful, awful. Like one of the worst players from tour, 150 to 200 yards. What worries me a little bit is he is good around the green, but I think he's going to be fine in water on the par threes. I think we're going to have, you know, he's short off the tee. Well, he's not short. I shouldn't say that. He's actually pretty long. He doesn't hit fairways though, so he's going to be coming from the rough quite a bit. I think we're going to get a bunch of seven irons into the water this week for Montgomery. Bob alluded to it. I mean, he was a top 20 merchant, but he's missed his last two cuts. And he's missed them at Phoenix and Genesis, which aren't very similar to here, but they're relatively both big ballparks. Yeah. That's what's kind of telling to me. And he's +180.
Wow.
For a guy that's awful from 150 to 200 yards. So
coming off two straight MCs too. Get +180. Wow.
Yeah. So I put 40 on that to pay out 112, and I got 15 on Ricky to top 10 to pay out 105.
Nice.
And that's my card for the week.
I like the card. I think you could get back into the overall green this week.
That's the goal. I don't like seeing the red really next to any of us. I want all three of us to do well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. I mean, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate that.
I think I do too. Bob, you have... might be the only one that roots for failure from the other two.
Well, real sports fans root for failure.
Yeah, that's very true.
No doubt. If you give me Spieth and
but this isn't a sport.
Ricky down the stretch, I'm hoping for disasters unlike Ricky Fowler's ever seen.
I would say it's better for the pod if we're all in the green.
I definitely think it's better than what we are right now, which is getting bashed every week. But this is where it turns around this week. I'm going to go to Alpha Kirk.
Oh, Chris Kirk.
For my top play, probably top 10.
He's got great course history here too.
Yeah, that's a massive thanks for me. It's got the Elise approval for top 20, so top 10's an easy take. I'm probably going to go, 500 on
500.
50.
50. Or he's plus 500.
No, he's plus 500, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll have to tweet out like the way I
should. Yeah, yeah. You know, you've been doing that the past couple of weeks. Folks know what to look for. They know Sleepless Bob might have some good plays.
I'm very excited to go back to bed. I won't lie. It was a travesty. The amount of people I've yelled at over the past like 24 hours because my dad was like too tired to yell at anyone. I've had to like yell at anyone. Like it was ridiculous. Like they delayed our flight until 4:40 and then canceled it. We drove around Manhattan, paid like $150 for a cab, and there were no hotels like available. So we had to go back to the airport at 6 o'clock for a 3 o'clock in the afternoon flight. And then they told us we couldn't check our bags because it was too early after they just kicked us out of the airport below. It was not a fun experience. I'm not a coffee drinker. I downed 3 coffees today.
There you go.
Wow. Which is
well, you're a coffee drinker now.
Well, I hate the taste.
Once you go so coffee, bad. You don't go back.
But it hits you. It hits you.
When you're dead tired, yes, coffee hits you immediately.
Yeah, it works. Like I was like this, like sitting in my chair, and then I had a cup of coffee and I was up.
Yeah.
But
we just need Spieth putter to get a cup of coffee.
We do need that.
That would work out quite well. Did you guys see the driver off the deck on 18 today? The Arnie shot.
That was swing, yeah.
He hit it pretty good too. I don't know.
Traditions like that. Sorry to interrupt you, but like traditions like that, and that's just one of a few there. It makes me still just mad that he did not play there last year.
Yeah.
He could have used that tournament last year, but that's last year.
Yeah, it's fun. It was funny to see that he had the quad down too to get like numbers and stuff. It's like, I mean, he probably hit like an iron or something right before, but still.
I'm hoping that's where his tee shot ended because that's a good tee shot.
That's an excellent tee shot. Yeah, I would take par on 18 all day, but I'd probably all 4 days, but I'd probably take one over on 18 for the week. Like that's one of those holes with the wind.
I'm curious as to what the wind.
Depending on what direction it is, that's one of those where it's like you hit it in the rough in a certain spot, like you might not be able to advance to the green depending on how thick it is. So, but
looking at the just one more thing, looking at the wind too, it completely shifts on Sunday.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know it's south southwest Thursday through Saturday, then it's north on Sunday. So that'll be very, very interesting as a caddy and a player, just completely adjusting the clubs that you're going to be taking off of tees.
Yeah.
Come Sunday.
Yes, it is.
What do we think? Like, first of all, thank God for Elise being back now that I don't have to make those plays anymore. But Elise is kind of saying that Eric Cole has a good chance to make the cut. I think that's crazy.
I think you got to stick to your word, to be quite frank here. I mean,
I don't think I'm backing down. I think I'm. What world does Eric Cole not shoot 6 over this week? That's my question.
I don't know. I think Elise is playing the.
He's been playing well. I won't lie. I will not lie, but he's coming off a very emotional week.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say. He's either like in pseudo contention come Saturday again, and it's like, oh, Eric Cole's like T12, and this is kind of fun. Or he goes 80-80, and we see him at the Valspar.
Well, thanks for that. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I feel like my reputation would be tainted if I didn't stick with Cole Miscut.
No, you have to now. I don't really care.
I think the only move I can make now is to put less on Cole and just put like 80 points on Morikawa to Miscut.
Oh,
I'd respect that.
Dude, but that's something that Dan doesn't want to see.
If that hits, I'm gonna be mad. Cause I
Dan's been talking about
I Bobby. Love Morikawa, and honestly, I think his week is next week.
At the Players Championship?
I do. Depends on the weather, of course.
But this is a huge announcement, but I will not be picking Spieth at the Players Championship next week.
I will if he misses the cut this week.
Yeah, I think I agree. We have extra points next week as well. Let's remember that.
True. So what events do we have extra points? Just the FedEx Cup and the players and the majors?
Just the majors and the players.
Yeah, I don't think we give the playoffs extra points.
Whoever made those rules clearly did not align with our players, not the fifth major agenda.
Yeah. Well, Craig Ranch has 300 points.
Well,
forgot about
that's
that.
Good. At least that's good.
Yeah,
200 points next week. That's fun.
Yeah,
5 to 10 bets. Good. Yeah, it should be fun.
There could be a lot wagered on Spieth to miss cut next week. I will not lie.
Well, yeah, not to miss cut. I'm saying if Spieth misses the cut this week, I'm
he's
wagering
be like
some
60
on,
to one next week.
I'm wagering some on him to win next week.
Fair.
But we'll
see. I think
see.
I'll have to see if he does miss the cut this week, how he plays.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if he makes every putt this week and misses the cut,
we have a problem.
I'm hammering the win at the players. But I don't think that's
off
possible.
Week with the ball striking. I see it.
Well, because I think he fixes the ball striking quicker in missed cuts because it's there right now. Obviously, we're still in this putting recession, so.
You just started the recession too. Like, you're very kind to not start it like much earlier.
Yeah. Well, I had to figure out, I don't even know if it like fits the proper definition of a recession, but I needed to see more before I was willing to call it a recession. It was probably a recession.
It's the great putting depression
in August or so of last year. But, I think by now it was worth the call for sure.
Thank you.
That's fair. I mean, my one lasting note regarding the putter is he putted well here in 2021. For what that's worth, maybe he, you know, Bob kind of said at the beginning of the podcast, maybe the Florida, you know, different types of grass makes him more confident. He is such a, like, I mean, he's a golf nerd, but he's such a weird player in terms of like mentally, like the smallest little things will like change, you know, the confidence. So maybe that's, you know, maybe we the putter gets hot this week. Who knows?
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Before I depart, I just want to say congrats to the N Rangers on their Patrick Kane acquisition today, as they have boosted into the second favorites for the Stanley Cup.
I
know Dan is shaking over there.
Yeah. Congrats
knowing
to the
Patrick Kane owns the Bruins.
Congrats to the B Bruins for just being good at hockey.
The Bruins
The B Bruins are very good.
The Bruins play an alpha form of hockey, unlike the Caps. The Caps play dump and chase hockey, which is not fun hockey to watch.
We play old man slow hockey.
There is a lot of old men on the ice in Washington. I'm excited for Stanley Cup playoff season. I don't know if you remember, we were doing a live pod last year when the Rangers were eliminated, and that was pretty funny.
That was good. That was good.
Like, we had like an emergency podcast when the Rangers lost like 3-2 in game 5 and then went down 3-2 and then lost like game 6 like 5-1 or something.
Yeah,
that's tough.
I remember I watched it go in and we were like 2 minutes away from overtime and Dan was just like,
oh. Yeah, I think the Rangers lost.
But
I think I remember you saying that. Yep.
But I think that's all we have for today.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be recapping some good play on Sunday.
Please, so much good play.
Yeah, and I think on Sunday we might have some featured groups for next week.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier as we awaited the tee times. It took forever to come out.
Yeah. Jeez, that was brutal. But
yeah, I guarantee they'll tease us next Sunday during Arnie's event. They will make a fuss of their massive venue and field,
and it's still every shot shown, right, for next week.
I'd assume so. I doubt they'd go back from what they've.
that'd be a bad look for PGA Tour, but. So we'll be back Sunday. Maybe we have a players pairing and discuss.
Sunday. Thank you.
Is that it, Bob?
I think it is. Yes. Good night to all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Bob.
I'm going to bed. So yeah. Good night.
Take care.
Good night.